Good afternoon, and welcome to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined for this afternoon show, as usual, by my compadre, Mike Yakubik. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Joseph.
We have some guests in the studio, but Michael, let's do as we always do, and we'll lead off with the prayer to St. Michael. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Have 2 degrees, Michael, to get out of the way.
That'll make the state deputy and John Rossetti very happy.
There you go. On Sunday, January 27th, a knighthood or third degree will be conducted by Father Edward Garrity, Council 10474. They're located at 3595 Conewago Creek Road in Manchester. Candidates should arrive no later 1:30, and the degree is to begin at 2 p.m. And then on Tuesday, February the 26th, an admission degree will be conducted by St. Patrick Council up in Carlisle. They're located at 87 Marsh Drive in Carlisle. Candidates should arrive no later than 7, and the degree is to begin at 7:30.
All right. Well, we're going to introduce the two guests that we've never had on here before, Franchetta Groves and Andrew Root. Both of them are Trinity High School students, and they were at the March for Life down in Washington, D.C. last Friday. But before we get into the discussion on the March for Life and what occurred and what it was like to be there, I want to introduce someone that's not new to our listening audience nor new to the Knights of Columbus, but John Meehan, the Director of Life for the state of Pennsylvania. And John, you know, I know you've been, you're one of the most passionate people I know, especially when it concerns something that we should all be passionate about. And with you, I know when you were doing Keep Christ in Christmas, there was no more fervent person wanting to make sure that our Lord stayed in Christmas and it wasn't a commercial activity. And I got to tell you, I know that when it comes to life, there is no one that steps up further to the plate than you do. So, John, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do as Director of Life for the State of Pennsylvania Knights of Columbus?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for inviting me, Mike. It's always a pleasure to be here. It was kind of funny, as you said, for several years, I guess, I was the chairman for Keep Christ in Christmas program, and of course the basis of that program was the birth of Jesus Christ, and now it's my job to pay attention to the birth of all mankind. It's my feeling that to be very honest with you, it's my feeling that Satan's primary job is to make us believe that he doesn't exist, and unfortunately, sometimes I feel like he's winning, but I also feel good about the fact that we're beginning to recognize his existence on this planet, and beginning to fight back. And a part of that is that the Knights of Columbus have begun what is known as the New Faith in Action program, which means that we are, even though we always did it, we are now putting a lot more emphasis on prayer. And my job is to assist in the new programs for life. The March for Life, of course, is one of them, and it's also masses for people with special needs and the Novena for Life and the pregnancy center support and ultrasound and all the rest of it. But the Knights of Columbus are now actively moving in that direction, and it makes me feel great. Our Supreme Knight Carl Anderson, as you know, actually spoke at the March for Life, and invariably he always says at least one thing that sticks with me, and he said, he made one little sentence at that speech that went directly to my heart, and that was, one person, a God is a majority. I just love that. It's going to be my new battle cry, and we're just moving in that direction. I think the March for Life showed it, and I'm proud of my fellow Knights, and of course proud of what you do here, and proud of both Andrew and Franchetta for getting involved in this program and taking the culture of death in this country.
Well, I think that's the one thing that we can all be proud of, is that our young people are stepping up. And again, you know, just to segue onto what you had stated, one of the nice things about the Faith in Action program is when you look at every director that we have, whether it be you at Life, Don at Faith, Ken with Community, Fran with Family, everything is geared toward the family life of Catholics and geared toward the life aspect of it. And I think that's something that we as Knights should be proud of. And what we're going to do, we're going to talk a little bit to Franchetta and Andrew about their trip. Now, this is, you had mentioned before, this is your, well, to us, this was your second trip down. So, Franchetta, what do you think about it?
Yes, it was my second time going, and I really enjoy the March for Life because you really get to see how many people are on the side of life and how we're trying to change the culture to accept life and to respect life. And I think it's really something I'm incredibly passionate about. So I think it's really important that we do things like this.
There you go. There you go. And you know what? I was watching on EWT and most of the live television coverage. It seemed to me, because you guys were there, you can tell me for sure. It seemed to me like we had bigger numbers this year than we had last year and the year before. Because when you look down that mall, when they pan back on that camera, you could just see. Yeah.
Okay,
good
Andrew.
Stuff. Andrew.
Your thoughts.
It was an amazing experience just to see like all the people there supporting it, because sometimes I know like in my everyday life I see people that aren't necessarily in that aspect of it. They're not completely for it, but they're not necessarily against it, and they're busy questioning it. And just to see the amount of people gives me hope in the fact that like we can do something about this, because I mean the world tries to hide that so much, and like just to be out there and make some noise. Just felt good. It felt amazing. So yeah.
There you go.
It's good.
There you go.
Yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, I harp on a lot, and people have heard me say it, you know, I guess 1,000 times, and I know John is a firm believer in this, but, I mean, you know, when you talk about murdering innocents, you know, we think of Stalin with the Stalin Purge, and when you think of Hitler and what he did to the Jews, and they were paupers compared to what we do within this nation. 61 million dead. I can't even grasp that. I mean, it's so hard to put your mind around that big of a number. I mean, we were outraged in World War II, and then afterwards with Stalin, and God bless you.
Thank you.
And then and we were talking, you know, 7 million, 10 million at the most. Mm-hmm. And today we do 61 million, and we actually have women bragging about the fact that they were proud to have an abortion. I mean, I don't know how sick that is. John, thoughts?
Well, I have, of course, a million thoughts about it, Michael. You know, I don't know if you're aware of it, but New York State on Tuesday, the 22nd, they just passed a law making abortion legal up until birth. The 22nd, you had asked me earlier how many times I'd gone to the march. Well, the 22nd is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which is what New York did. They passed the law celebrating that anniversary. The 22nd is also my birthday. And so it's hard for me not to go to that march, quite frankly. We are a country of euphemisms. We love to make up words for things that we don't admit. I think one of the perfect ones is pork chops and bacon and ham, because we don't want to say that we eat pig, quite frankly. And abortion is one of those wonderful words. The fact of the matter is it means we're killing them. We're not aborting them. You know, you abort something by putting a stop to a space launch or something like that. We're not aborting anything. We're killing them. And it tears our hearts away when we really get to that march. With Andrew and Franchetta saying that they want to be there and be loud. I can remember the first time we went, that I went, and every time since when I've gone, the one thing that just warms my heart is the young people. And they are loud and boisterous and in your face, and it's just a joy to see how they take this, how they take this project and move forward with it. And God bless you guys. You're our hope for the future.
There you go.
Definitely, and they are the personification of our faith. I mean, that's who we are, what we are as Catholics.
Yeah, and John, if I may, I mentioned on a previous show we were talking about us having put the 1,000th ultrasound machine out. And, you know, we're saving lives with those. But I thought to myself, as church-going, God-fearing Christians, the people in this country, not Catholics, not Christians, what part of the fifth commandment don't they understand? Okay, murder is murder, whether you're doing an abortion or you shoot somebody with a pistol. It's, you know, they're just as deceased. It's,
yep.
I don't know. I have trouble wrapping my head around this sometimes. As the grandfather,
you know what,
said,
Joe? Though not to get us too down on this situation, is let us not forget that the Knights of Columbus have just very recently donated their 1,000th ultrasound machine, and that is one of the programs that I'm in charge of and proud to be in charge of. As a consequence of that, we are actually saving lives, and we're saving them every single day.
Amen.
Amen
to that. And you know what was great about it? With all you guys being down at the march, that 1,000th machine was put in Manassas, Virginia.
Okay.
We're going to be wrapping things up here for the first half of the show, guys. The music is starting to play in my ears, so we're going to have to take our hard break. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and again, I'm joined by our guests in the studio, the young students from Trinity, and my compadre, Mr. Mike Kubik, and we have John on the phone, who's our life director for the state of Pennsylvania with the Knights of Columbus. So welcome back to everybody.
Thank you, Joe. Joe, what we figured we're going to do for the second half of the show is we have these two young people here. This is their second March for Life, but they're going to tell us, they're going to recount what actually happened to them from the day, from the time that they left Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, via the roads going down to D.C., the walk, and then coming back home. So, Franchetta, Andrew, the stage is all yours.
Okay, whichever one of you wants to start first, go ahead. The ladies first, let's do that. Ladies first.
So we woke up early, and we got to Trinity High School around 6 o'clock. And then we took the bus in all together, and we actually went to Mass first in the morning. We have a chapel at Trinity, mm-hmm. and so we had Mass there, you know, to put ourselves in the right frame of mind to really remember why we're marching and we're trying to do God's work. You know, we're trying to change the culture. We're trying to make a culture of life. And so we put ourselves in the right frame of mind, and then we all got on the bus, and we got down to Trinity, and after eating lunch, we started joining the other marchers on the March for Life.
And you had, we were talking during the break, you said you guys had hooked up with some kids from, where was it, Indiana?
Yeah, when we were out at lunch, we got to see some kids from Indiana. As we were in the march, we got to see people from all over. There was this another school named Trinity from, they were from South Dakota, I think.
Wow.
And, it was just really cool to see people coming from all over. Our chaplain over at Trinity got to meet up with some people from, like, California that went. I got to see somebody that came that we met through Mount St. Mary's that was studying to be a priest and is now a priest in Wichita. He brought a bunch of kids over from Wichita over, well, I think he said 135, which is absolutely amazing.
That's amazing, yes. Yeah, that's a couple of busloads right there.
Either
one of you here.
So it was, and then we started walking, and it was crazy. There were so many people that there were times that you just sort of stood still because, you know, everybody's just standing there, and there's so many people actually there marching, and you really get to hear from other high school students who also feel the same way as you do, you know, cheering and chanting. And it's a really empowering moment because you really see how the culture is changing, even if you don't always see that on the news or maybe in your classes. You do see that there are people who want to defend life and they want to respect life. And it's really an empowering moment for all, I think, for myself at least.
There you go. Michael?
Well, I think one of the things that we have to remember is life is more than just the beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we all do that. But our country is going in such bad directions now that we not only have to worry about the unborn, but we have to worry about protecting the rights of those later in life. You know, we hear of euthanasia and all these things to take away the life that God and God alone gives us. And it's always important to think of the unborn because there's no one that can speak for them. Whereas you get older, you know, hopefully someone will be able to talk up. But I know that John does this because in the life director's job, he is worried about life from the moment of conception until you die a natural death, not being circumvented and said, well, we're just going to get rid of you because you're of no use to anyone. And I believe that we are all a use to someone because God put us here for a reason. John?
Mike, I just want to, I'm going to mention the elephant in the room, okay? We all know what the media has done in the last couple of days with respect to that Catholic school in Covington and the situation with the Native Americans. Number one, I thank God for it now coming out the way it really was and not the way the media projected it, okay? And we all know that at this point. But the second thing that I wanted to comment on that I heard absolutely nowhere else was the fact that we've been sending hundreds of thousands of people to that march for decades now, and nobody ever knows about it. The one time when the media saw something that could be negative, it became national news. And that is disgraceful. And once again, for me, that just shows us the existence of Satan in this world. I'm glad at this point that people were aware of the March for Life, even though it came out in such a negative way. And I'm hopeful now that that more people will be aware of it, more people will join us in that incredible march every year in Washington.
There you go. We need to get more busloads down there. I don't know how you're going to get the drive-by media, as they call it, John, to cover it. It was, I won't say funny, that's the wrong word, but the day after, there was a women's march or something in D.C., the day after the March for Life.
Yes.
And they showed maybe 15 seconds of the crowd from the our March for Life. And when the other march took place the following day, the media was all over it, you know? It's I don't know, I can't wrap my head around that. I really can't. We were sending hundreds of thousands of people, you know, youngsters and guys our age down there to do what we need to do.
But again, one of the things that always bothers me, and it came to fruition because of Covington, the young boys that were there, the bishop in the Covington area actually condemned the boys too without knowing the facts. And I think that's one of the problems with the abuse scandal that we've had. Our bishops run scared. Rather than taking the time to look at all the facts, we turn around and we condemn ourselves. One of the things that John alluded to was the governor of New York, not going to mention his name. He was, you know, with the new law that's being passed, we actually had a bishop stand up. And I just fail to remember who it was, but he actually came out in a statement. And all he said was, Governor, you are not Catholic. And he is a Catholic, mm-hmm. but he doesn't portray our faith. And he doesn't portray Christianity. And I mean, this is bigger than Christianity. This is a moral issue. I don't really care if you're Jewish or if you're Islamic or Buddhist or anything. There is a natural sacredness of life, and it transcends specific religions. It's actually morality. I mean, you hear talk about that the wall is immoral, but killing babies, that's okay. That's our problem. We have a real problem in this country, and we have a real problem with people of faith that do not stand up
and stand by the cross and say, this is the way, and he is the truth and the life, and we should follow him. These two young people we have here today, John, I think are really good examples of what our faith needs and what our faith needs to stay in order for it to last until the end of times. So
I can't agree with you more, Mike. It's, you've heard me say this many times. It's time for us to stand up and be proud of our faith and be proud of Christianity, and especially be proud of the fact that we're Catholics. Go back and take a look at the history of this church from Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago until today, and you'll realize what a force for good it has been on this planet. And it's time that we got back again and became proud of our Catholic faith, and we're not so quick, as you indicated with the bishop, we're not so quick to jump and hide under the table every time something like this happens. Those kids handled that situation beautifully, and it was the media that was the villain in that situation.
Yeah, they grabbed a hold of that first 30 seconds of video that I saw, with they were pounding the drum in front of the youngster's face, but they didn't take the time to go out and see who else had cell phones or videos to get the whole story. And that was like a day and a half, 2 days later, which is sad. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Those kids handled that situation, quite frankly, better than I probably would have.
Yeah, you and I both, because being ex-GIs, I got a short fuse. It doesn't take much to set you off. It really doesn't.
Is that right?
Quite honestly, our Blessed Mother, quite honestly, in all of this, is our friend. Pray her rosary. You guys have a chapel at school. McDevitt has any Catholic high school has got a chapel in it. Okay, your parish church. Go spend time with our Lord. There's perpetual adoration chapels. Go spend 15, 20 minutes that it takes you to say the glorious or the joyful or sorrowful or luminous mysteries of the rosary. Ask our Blessed Mother to intercede. Help us with this. The marching is fine, but we need prayer too.
I think it reminds me that it's important to have, the legislation behind respecting life, and it's important to have the social actions behind respecting life. But I think even more important is talking to other people about what it means to respect life, because that's what's really going to change the culture. And, praying and really the spiritual aspect behind it too is what's really going to make the difference. You can pass as many bills as possible, but there's always going to be counter to that. But what's really going to make the difference is actually praying with other people and talking about it and changing the culture in that way, I think, is the most effective.
Amen to that. Michael, do you want to jump in there? Andrew?
The rosary to me is like one of the most beautiful things that we can say. And I mean, going in a march, I know as we pass these groups, there were many groups that were sitting there praying the rosary as they walked, and it was just one of the coolest things to see is these people marching, praying the rosary, and doing different things. And even we had some hecklers, and every time we would pass a heckler, there were people to my right that would start praying for them. And that's just, I think, one of the best things we can do is just pray for those people, because especially those hecklers, it's not so much that they're against us, but they have a lack of understanding, and they just they need something to show them like that what they're doing is not okay.
Yep. They need to have the full story. They need to have the truth told to them. Yeah. It's conception to natural death.
I'm sure we're getting to the end of the show. So before we run out of time, I want to make sure that everybody knows that we do appreciate Franchetta and Andrew coming from Trinity High School. Good Catholic school, good morals. It's Father Sod's up there. Good guy, right?
Yeah, yep. Guy. Father
yeah.
Sod.
Yeah, we've had Father Sod on here. Father Sod's quite the gentleman. Good priest. So thank you so much for coming. We really and truly enjoyed your input. We welcome you back anytime, and anyone at all that ever wants to come down and just talk about how they're facing the struggles today as a Catholic youth, because I know it's not easy. I know it's not. John, as always, love to have you on. You know that. We love what you're doing for the state. We love what you do for the Knights of Columbus. We love what you do as a Catholic gentleman, and I don't think we could ever thank you enough. So.
Michael, it's always a joy, and I thank you for the honor, and I just leave you with Carl Anderson's comment, one person in God is a majority.
Amen.
Got that right.
Amen. To that, for Night Talk. Along with Mikey Kubik, I'm Joe Murphy. Thank you for listening, and God bless.